For months now, we've been hearing from pundits and politicians that this is the most consequential midterm election of our lifetimes. So I want to end today's show by talking about what exactly is at stake. According to President Donald Trump, he may not be on the ballot, but the fate of his agenda is.
A Democrat victory on Election Day would be a bright, flashing invitation to traffickers, smugglers, drug dealers, and gang members all over the world. Come on in.
In the final days of the campaign, the president has ramped up rhetoric on illegal immigration. He's ordered the military to protect the southern border as a caravan of Central American migrants moves north.
Anybody throwing stones, rocks, like they did to Mexico and the Mexican military, Mexican police, where they badly hurt police and soldiers of Mexico, we will consider that a firearm.
He's also promoting an end to birthright citizenship with an executive order.
It was always told to me that you needed a constitutional amendment.
Right. Guess what? Amendment.
You don't. Number one, you don't need that. Number two,
I mean, that's in dispute.
You could definitely
that's very much in dispute.
Well, you can definitely do it with an act of Congress, but now they're saying I can do it just with an executive order.
And then on Wednesday, President Trump released a video on Twitter reminiscent of the infamous Willie Horton attack ad used in the 1988 presidential election.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, please step out of the hallway.
Break up soon. No, kill more.
He says he wants to apply for pardon for the felony he committed. Attempt of murder.
The text underneath this video reads, "Illegal immigrant, Luis Bracamontes killed our people. Democrats let him into our country. Democrats let him stay." It's not very subtle. It should come as no surprise that in places where Trump is popular, Republican candidates have put this issue front and center in their campaigns.
A caravan of 14,000 illegal immigrants is marching on America. But Phil Bredesen?
A few thousand very poor people is not a threat.
Phil Bredesen, dangerously wrong for Tennessee.
The caravan is full of gang members and criminals. Who is tough enough to secure our border? Not Dan Feehan.
Even some Democrats in deep red states, like Senator Joe Donnelly of Indiana, are embracing issues like the border wall and a continued funding for ICE.
The radical left wants to eliminate ICE.
I support ICE and funding President Trump's border wall.
But in many of the suburban districts that will control the balance of power in the House, the issue isn't immigration or even Trump himself. For Republicans, the focus is Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi.
When you get Elaine Luria, you get Nancy Pelosi. Package deal.
In Washington, Feehan would vote with Pelosi for open borders and amnesty, putting Minnesota families at risk.
Nancy Pelosi back in power. Gridlock. And then impeachment. Is that really what you want?
While many voters in these districts may not embrace the president or his rhetoric, Republicans believe that Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic agenda are even more toxic than Donald Trump. Meanwhile, in most Democratic ads, Trump's name doesn't come up at all. Instead, there's been a laser-like focus on one issue.
I don't know why you voted to let insurance companies go back to denying coverage for pre-existing conditions, but I know Heidi would never do that.
I'm Heidi Heitkamp, and I approve this message.
Now the threat is Patrick Morrissey's lawsuit to take away health care from people with pre-existing conditions.
I'm Ellen Lipton. I approve this message because to me, the health care fight isn't new, but it is personal.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message because the insurance companies already have too many senators on their side.
Obamacare is more popular today than it has been since the law was passed in 2010. A big reason for its newfound popularity was the attempt by Republicans in Congress to repeal the law last year. Democrats aren't spending much time defending Obamacare, but they are attacking Republicans for voting to undermine one of the most popular aspects of the law, protections for pre-existing conditions. Of course, there's another voice that looms large over this election.
I am here to ask you to vote in what might be the most important election of our lifetimes. The stakes really are that high. The consequences of anybody sitting out of this election are profound.
After staying out of the spotlight for most of Trump's tenure, President Barack Obama is making a high-profile return to the campaign trail to provide a closing argument to voters about the importance of electing Democrats.
And as a fellow citizen, not as an ex-president, but as a fellow citizen, I'm here to deliver a simple message and that is that you need to vote because our democracy depends on it.
Now, in previous midterm years, when he was in the White House, Obama's pleas to his coalition, those younger voters and voters of color to get to the polls, didn't succeed. Will they turn out this year? As for me, I've been focused on this election since, well, pretty much the day after the 2016 election ended. I'm not normal, I know, but this is my job. To me, the most remarkable takeaway from this election is how little things have changed since 2016. The coalition that brought Trump to the White House, white, older, rural, and overwhelmingly male voters, continue to give him high marks. Meanwhile, those who voted against him in 2016, women, college-educated white voters, voters of color, dislike him as much today as they did back then. And these opinions of the president color the way voters see the race for Congress. In red rural America, the battleground for the Senate, Trump remains popular, which gives Republicans the opportunity to pick off a seat or two from Democrats currently holding those states. I'm thinking of places like North Dakota, Missouri, and Indiana. But in purple or blue-leaning America, the suburbs around major metropolitan areas like Denver, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, and Chicago, Trump is deeply unpopular. With so many battleground districts in and around these places, Democrats are favored to pick up control of the House. Another way to think of this, the battle for control of the Senate and the House are taking place in two very different countries. And on election night, both sides may be able to claim victory. So while we don't know exactly what will happen on Tuesday, one thing that does look certain is that America on November 7th, 2018, is likely to look as divided and polarized as it did the day after the election in 2016. And the fate of the election means a lot to many of you, the voters, who will get your chance next Tuesday to have your voice heard.
This is Heather from the Twin Cities of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Alina from Arlington, Texas.
My name's Fred Brinkley.
This is Jason Farbaugh. I'm calling from North Wales, Pennsylvania.
My name is Jacqueline Thomas. I'm calling from Portland, Oregon.
This is Joel from Normal, Illinois. I am voting in these midterm elections because I would like my voice to be heard by the representatives in Washington.
I think what's at stake is getting key people like senators who will stand up for human rights.
Equal pay for women, health care, the absolute right to vote is all in jeopardy.
This is the last best chance to wrest control of the federal government from the Republicans. I'm a moderate Republican, and I think they've done a bad job.
What's at stake, in my opinion, is a rejection of the negative, prejudiced, violent tendencies our country's moving to.
Am I voting? Hell yes, I'm voting. Living in Minnesota, it's a huge year for us. The governor is up for election, two Senate seats, and a highly contested representative seat, plus the attorney general. There's no way I would not vote this year. Please, everybody, vote.
What's your choice?
Be sure to tune in next week and join us as we process the results of the election and talk about what comes next. Leadership elections in the House, a possible government shutdown, and of course, 2020. And remember, you can always find us on Facebook and leave a comment there or send us a tweet. I'm at Amy E. Walter and the show is at The Takeaway. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Amy Walter. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.